go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 113 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Be thankful that the B-Man is here with you for this episode, because before filming, I had a near-death experience. Allow me to explain, to elaborate. I was getting everything ready, but before I put the camera, the lights, the backdrop together, the scene, the scenery, I've been trying to become a more physically fit. I am just a melded together Gumby-like cells. There's nothing impressive, so I'm trying to build my endurance in case I have to do a UFC or get drafted to World War III. So I did 40 burpees. Now, if you know what a burpee is, it's when you jump up, you go down into a push-up, and then you can jump right back up and you keep doing it. Now, I did 40 in a row. More like I did 30. Took about a minute break, and it did the last 10. And do know that these are pathetic, parasitic-like burpees. If a drill sergeant saw me do these burpees, he'd kick me down and kick me out of the Marines and send me to prison. I'm doing these burpees, maybe it's just a little subconsciously. I have a friend, a comedian friend, who... You know, if you know anything about burpees, they do them in basic training, and it's a big prison workout. And now I have, this comedian friend of mine, he sells drugs, or he did till recently, but he got to a point where he was walking around with $50,000 on him, just straight cash. And I asked him, well, why don't you put that in a savings account or invest it somehow? And he told me, well, I can't because it's dirty money and I don't have a business. So I just carry it with me and I go out with my friends and I pay for everybody's drinks. And I'm getting to that point where I'm getting a little too high up in the drug game, to the point where he would wake up every morning and do burpees in preparation for going to prison. So maybe I am just subconsciously getting ready to go to prison. I sincerely hope that is not the case, because I would not do well in prison if my burpees are any case or any indication. Because after I did the 40 burpees, I would just... If there was a nurse, if there was a doctor right there in that moment, I would have asked him, put me on a ventilator and have me be done with this life. Like all those people in COVID, that's how much I could feel my heart just going in and out. Boom, 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 boom. I was so out of breath. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I am so out of shape. But I did a 40 and I am proud of myself. A tip of the penis to me. So, I've been trying to observe and feel energy this year, 2025. What are we, almost about 3 months into the year already? But, so I was in this parking garage, and I was on the third floor, and I'm a lazy fuck. I could barely do 40 burpees in a row. So I'm going to take the elevator down to the main level. So I go in the elevator, and I have a little suitcase with me, and I have a red jacket that I wear that is a compliment magnet from everybody. The Chads, the gals. I put on this red winter jacket. I get complimented at least once by a stranger every time I wear this jacket. Anyway, I had the jacket on. I go in the elevator. There's a couple that comes in right behind me. And they're, I don't know their age. I don't want to say they're old, but they're older than the B-Man. They're probably late 40s, early 50s, and they're all dolled up. The guy's not wearing a suit, but he's wearing a nice button-down. The lady has a nice skirt on, respectable, not floozy-like, but and she had heels, and her hair was all dolled up. You know, all dolled up. This was a, I think it was a Friday evening, maybe 8 o'clock, maybe a little before 8 o'clock. So they were probably going out, dining, maybe to a show, doing what couples. I'm not sure if they were married or if they were just dating. But anyway, we're in there. The lady had this perfume on. I loved the smell of it, but I felt the energy. Like, there was a sexual tension between this lady and the bee man. The problem was her boyfriend or husband was between the two of us. And I don't know if it's just pure, I don't know if this was self-imagined energy that I was trying to will into reality, or if this energy was actually there, if there was an actual sexual tension between me and this babe. And I don't know, because I would make eye contact with her and I look away. And normally I do this thing where when I make eye contact with a babe and she looks at me, I will not look away. Like, that is just, I'm going to stay. I'm not going to bow down. I am an alpha Chad. I am proud of myself. I can do 40 burpees. If you look at me while I'm looking at you, we're playing chicken. Who's going to look down first? And the bee man, I ain't no chicken. So, but I'm not making eye contact with her because I respect the John that is with her on this date, getting ready for this date in this elevator. But I felt the energy between me and this babe. Now, what I want to know, or what I've been examining internally, maybe I'm a bit neurotic with this, but the B-man was like, okay, was that energy really there? Was it palpable? Or was it imagined? Or was it wishful thinking? And then secondly, if it was real, if the lady had the hots, if she was dripping wet between her legs for the bee man and what I was oozing from my red jacket that gets so many compliments from everyone, the boys, the gals, everybody alike, all genders. And if that tension was there and it was real, did the boyfriend or the husband that she was with, did he feel that energy? Right? Did he feel the energy that she was putting off towards me, the sexual energy, and not the husband? And how did he feel about it? Because he did not look at me at all. Now, I wasn't looking at his baby because I wasn't trying. I ain't a cock block. If there's one thing about the bee man, I am not a intentional cock block. Now, there have been plenty of times in my life where I've been boozing and I've been chatting and I've been pontificating, and I'll ruin a sexual endeavor that might go down. Usually it's between me and another babe, but maybe sometimes it's between a friend and another babe. But I was not trying to like sex her up with my eyes and then belittle the guy there. I just, one or two quick looks, kind of kept to myself. And then I just did he feel the energy that he was, being left out of? I wonder. And I'll never know the answer. And I'll probably never see those two again. But I do sincerely hope that their dates or whatever their evening was going to entail last Friday, I hope they had a wonderful time, and I hope it ended well, making love and or sharing some red velvet cake. Sometimes many people think that's better than love. Sometimes I do myself. Just, it is weird. We so much talk about vibes and energy, and I've been really diving into it and trying to sense it. But I never know. Is it real, or am I just in my head and trying to imagine the best case scenarios for myself in whatever situation I'm in? We'll get to another situation in segment two, but that's enough of a preamble. Let's get into the episode. This comes from the subreddit Millennials. I think I am a millennial, 1984. All the generations are confusing to me, but anyway, Millennials. A subreddit. Should felons be allowed to vote in all 50 states? Should felons be allowed to vote in all 50 states? As we see, as a felon can hold office of the presidency, I believe she's referring to President Donald Trump. Should felons be allowed to vote in all 50 states? There was more to this post, but that's the main gist of it. So let's just go with that. Yeah. I've been advocating to all the listeners and viewers and myself and all of us here at Verbal Graffiti that we need to become more radical in our thinking. And with that said, and that thought process, of course, 100% of felons should be allowed to vote. I will go even more radical, and I'll make the proclamation now. The B-Man, I'm going to make this proclamation. I believe felons that are actually still serving their sentence for whatever crime or felony it is that they got convicted for should be allowed to vote while they're in federal prison. Now, there are exceptions to that rule. So if you're a murderer, if you murdered somebody and you're convicted of murder and you're still serving your sentence, that whole thing, you killed somebody else, so you took away someone's vote, so you should not be allowed to vote. Like one for one, that's equal. And of course, if anything involving children, diddling, or any sexually violent crime, you cannot vote while you're still serving. But if you're not any of those felonies, all the other felonies, yeah, of course you should be allowed to vote. And anyone who's finished their sentence, so you're a free man, free lady, or maybe you're serving probation or even past probation, once you've completed your sentence, you know, you did your time for the crime, and now you're out free or on probation, yeah, the B-Man, all of us here at Verbal Graffiti, we believe, yeah, you should be allowed to vote. You know, if a felon could be president, why shouldn't a felon be allowed to vote? And honestly, I mean, yeah. You know, you served your time for whatever it is. You robbed a bank, or you made up a crypto meme coin and pulled the rug out, and all your fans, millions, lost millions of fans and dollars, and you did your 10 years with good service, and now you're out in a halfway house. Go ahead, vote. Go to the ballot and vote for the Democrat, the Republican, the Green, whoever the fuck you want. Go ahead, vote for them. Because there's something the B-Man I will never do. I will never point my finger at a felon. That's because I'm a big pussy. And also because how can a B-Man judge a felon and go, no, you're a bad person. You should not be allowed to vote. Like, I can't do that in good conscience, because all I know, the only difference between me and all the felons out there in America is that the felons got caught, and whatever misdeed they did is notarized and publicly known. Because the B-Man, I don't know if I've ever committed a felony, but I've certainly, I'm not an upstanding citizen, a community member. You know, I've done lots of terrible things. I passed 3 years of Italian in high school, and I know 5 words of Italian. Nevica, which means snow, and ciao, bueno, all the other than the very civil terms, I don't know any Italian. So how did I pass Italian class 3 years? I cheated on every test we had, because our teacher, Miss Loretta, she was a lollipop. She was a pushover. Everyone cheated, and so did I. I've driven drunk, not proud to say that I've done so, not so much in a long time, but when I was younger, and sometimes you drink and you drive. Not proud to say I've done it, but I have. What else have I done? I've gone muff diving on fatties. I've had intercourse with married women and ladies in committed relationships. What other terrible deeds have I done? I've lit off fireworks. I've made up rumors about coworkers. I've driven 70 in a 55 zone. I've jaywalked. I've not larceny. I had a little petty theft, I guess, as a kid. You steal little things here and there. I park in between parking spots. You know, I don't stay within the lanes. There's just a lot of misdeeds I've done over the years. And the only difference is I haven't gotten caught for it. I've gotten lucky. I don't know why. I like to think as I'm getting older, I'm becoming a more respectable, upstanding citizen. But it's a work in progress. It certainly is. So I'm you're never going to see me look down and point at a felon or ex-felon and go, nope, you're not allowed to vote. You committed a crime, so you're excommunicated from the ballot box for eternity. That's never going to come for me. You know, we'll look down on people. All right, we'll look down on lots of types of people. I mean, that's basically what we do here at Verbal Graffiti, for shits and giggles. But a felon, we are not going to look down on felons, at least in terms of voting. They should be allowed to vote. And it also, are we really going to hold voting still as being holier than now? You know, one person equals one vote. It's your civil duty, is it? Are we really, are we blinded? We are not here at Verbal Graffiti. And look at the 2020 election. Are we really going to believe that old, decrepit, barely standing up, what's his name? I already forgot his name. Biden, Joe Biden. Are we really going to believe that that man got 15 million more votes than Barack Obama got? Everybody loved Obama. And we're supposed to believe that Joe Biden got more votes than any other presidential candidate in history. And that somehow in 3 a.m. in 2020, that these certain counties, they found like hundreds of thousands of votes and just miraculously put him ahead of Trump. And before you call me a conservative cocksucker, just slobbing on the knobs of those wretched Republicans, I am fair. Let's go look at the 2000 election. Remember, if you're old enough to remember, the hanging chads in Florida. Are we really going to believe that George W. Bush never called up his brother, Jeb, who was the governor of Florida at the time, and said, hey, those hanging chads, can you hang them a little bit more towards the R side? Come on. All right, Eric, we know that the Republicans pulled some strings behind the scenes to get the Supreme Court to vote their way so good old George W. could get in office. And then we can go back. We can go further. JFK, the mafia, some say, they roughed some people up so that JFK can win that election. And go look at Nixon. And now he got excommunicated from the presidency. He won almost every state. And then, there was some stuff done. And he got peace out. All I'm here to say is if you really believe that one person equals one vote and that your vote matters, well, if you believe that, then you still believe Abraham Lincoln never told a lie. It's all fugazi. It's all a game. It's why I don't think any of you should vote. But again, I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you like to vote, if you like the I voted today sticker, and you like to prance around town with that to make yourself feel more superior than your non-voters that you're among, go do you. Go do you. To be man, I'm not going to point the finger at you. But again, It's an American system. I mean, if you're a felon, I mean, that's who we're voting for, right? DT, Donald Trump, he's a felon. So you're voting for a felon or for a felon to be. And when I say felon to be, I mean everyone we vote for at the national, federal level, the senators, they're all felons. You know, go look at their salary and how much, what their net worth is. And how does that jibe? How does that puzzle go together? Felony acts, that's how. Insider trading. But, you commit a crime, do your time, and then vote for whoever you want. Let's go look at some photos. Sometimes, not sometimes, all of the time, life is about perspective. There was an incident this past weekend where I was alone, and in that moment, I wished my boys, my friends, my comics, my family, my pastor, my elementary school teachers, I wish everybody I knew was there when this incident went down. What happened was, and when I say everything is in life is perspective, is there was a babe, a younger babe, I'd say mid-20s. I wasn't even talking to her. I was doing stand-up. I was walking to the bar to get myself an overpriced Modelo that probably cost $8 and change. Like, who the fuck brings change to a bar so everyone uses a car? Whatever. So I'm maneuvering my way, sliding, snaking my way in between people. And this little wench, this little twat of a mid-20-year-old looks me in the eyes with disgust, with disdain, with anger, piercing eyes into my soul. And she told me, with all of her friends right around her, she goes, "Why do you look like Johnny Sins?" Now, the B-man, I am a self-proclaimed porn guy. And so I know exactly who Johnny Sins is. Now, if you look at me, I was not wearing a hat at the time. I am balding. I shaved my head. If you know Johnny Sins, I will put a photo of him right there. He is one of the most famous male porn stars of all time. Hall of Famer, ABN Hall of Fame. He's the best to ever dick down, possibly top 10 for sure. Top 10 best ever dick downers is Johnny Sins. And this little wench at this establishment accused me of looking like Johnny Sins. Now, what was funny was the perspective. She told me that as an insult. And immediately I took it as the most compliment I've ever gotten. In that moment, like, I looked around and I was like, does anybody see this? Like, the one time I don't have my camera with me. If I had my camera with me, I'd go, wait, can you say that again? Can we reenact this? Because I've never been so thrilled, giddy, and so deflated at the same time. Because it's one thing to get a compliment, but to get a compliment when other people you know are around you and you go, "Did you see that?" And you're like, "Dude, I cannot believe you got that compliment." Because I, you know, not to brag, actually, I'm going to brag, all right? There have been some people that have said that I look like Tom Brady, now pre-facial work Tom Brady, but this Johnny Sins, to be compared to one of the most famous male porn stars of all time, I wish I had the audio of her insult that I took as a compliment. I wish I could, because her voice and her tone and her reflection in her voice was a complete opposite of the way I perceived the insult. I 3 days later, and I'm still walking on thin air. Like, I just feel like I've lost 3 pounds. I've gained 5 pounds of muscle. The B-man and Johnny Sins were identical twins. Who knew? I didn't know. I have an ego, right? The B-man, I have an inflated ego, but it is not inflated to even think, to dare of comparing myself look-wise or action-wise to Johnny Sins. I mean, so, I wish I could list off his IMDb. IMDb doesn't probably have enough storage space to list all the films that he's starred in. Because I'm a porn guy. I've seen Johnny Sins fuck. I mean, that guy's got a piece. That thing, that ain't a hammer. That's a sledgehammer. And he, you know, he does work with that. So, again, if you look at Johnny Sins' face, he's a good-looking guy. He's a good-looking guy. So, you think that you're going to insult the B-man by calling me Johnny Sins? You got another one coming to you, because I view that as the highest of compliments. That's higher than the Medal of Honor. I mean, that's the Medal of Freedom. I mean, that's, I could die now and be happy. To be compared to Johnny Sins, to that wench at that establishment where I was doing stand-up, thank you. Thank you for that insult. All right, let's keep it. Johnny Sins, wow. Wow, what a throwback. Thank you to that wench. All right. Keep it moving. Comes from the subreddit, Am I Wrong? Probably are, but let's hash it out. Do I need to come clean about nudes? Never. I'm a 30 female husband, 31 male, named David, is in the military and was stationed overseas for 9 months in 2023. It was hard to not see each other for that long, but we made it through with phone calls, texts, and FaceTime helped a lot. And David made a friend for life during this time. His name is Mike, a guy he spent night and day with as part of his time there. I was so glad he and Mike were able to bond in that way. My husband doesn't have a ton of close friends. After David had returned for about a week, he said he needed to confess something. Naturally, I assumed the worst. He then told me he would always brag and show cute photos of me to his colleagues over there, and several times he had shown Mike sexy pics of me. Uh-oh. He and Mike had done the same. He always bragged and he showed David some of the sexy pics his wife had sent him. Woo. Many of the pics they shared were nudes. I was surprised, a little upset at first, but I forgave David. I get that it was a difficult time. He was proud. It wasn't great judgment, but it's fine. Cute, in a way. Anyway, the issue. Mike and his wife are visiting this weekend as staying with us. David told me that Mike's wife does not know anything about the photos and asked me to please not say anything. Do I owe it to Mike's wife to let her know, or should I let this lie? Well, when it comes to nudes via the phone or any type of technology, the B-Man and all of us here at Verbal Graffiti, let it lie. Always let it lie. Do not bring it to light, especially in this case. Now, I read your post. I've thought about it quite a bit. And if all this is to be true, and you can blame me for this, but I only know three of the actors. I know you. I know your husband, Mike, David and his military buddy, Mike, who he spent all his time with. Now, who we don't know is Mike's wife. We know nothing about her. Is she above board? Did she never cheat? Or is she a floozy? Did she fuck the plumber? Did she fuck the neighbor? Did she fuck her ex? Did she fuck the guy right off base at the bar? Like, we don't know her story. And you're coming at this post from Mike's wife and their marriage being above board. They both love each other. There was no cheating, no scandals while the boys were away defending our country. Now, I'm going to leave her aside. You gotta stay quiet because, like, boys today, right? That's a demeaning term. Sorry for that. But the guys serving our freedom overseas, they're no different. What they did, showing nudes of their wives and their girlfriends, with their bunk mates while serving overseas, that's no different than the boys from the Greatest Generation who had the wallet-sized photo of their spouse or their girlfriend or the mistress or whomever. You know, they'd have the wallet-sized photo and the babe would spray her perfume so that the guys fighting could smell their lady's scent, and they would share it with all the other guys on the plane and all that. Like, what the guys overseas doing now, that's no different than what the boys back then were doing. The only difference is the technology. And, back then, World War II and prior, all the fighters who served would have the wallet-sized photo if they had a spouse. Same thing today. All the guys fighting overseas, defending our freedom for America, the red, white, blue, the stars, all that, all the jazz, they all have nudes on their phone. And when I say all, I mean all. Everyone who's enlisted, who's overseas now, in the American Army and all the military units have nudes. At the very least, they have nudes on their phone because we all got a phone. So they all have nudes, and they probably all have disgusting foul, like browsers like scenes with their spouses on their phone. So to be sharing those nudes with the guy you're sharing a foxhole with overseas, like you said, it's kind of cute. You really can't accuse Mike and your husband David of any wrongdoing. Now, they're there 9 months without their loved one, without you, without the wife. So that's 9 months without intimacy, without physical touch, without lovemaking, without just being able to embrace each other. And all they did to pass the time was to share each other's nudes with each other. Like that's wholesome, right? You can't make a big stink about this to Mike's wife. Mike served our country, and you're gonna go wreck his marriage over a couple nudies of his hot wife? Like, come on, keep those lips tight. Do not mention this at all, really. And when it comes to photos and nudes, I've said this once, I'll keep saying it. If you send me a nude, all my friends are going to see it. And I ain't no military guy, right? I'm a pussy. I'm not going overseas to fight. But you send me a nude, do know, I am going to show it to my friends. Right? And how much will I show? Most people would see, to be man, I have a smidgen of morality, right? A smidgen. Most people would say anything more than a photo, like a video of the two of you making love, or a couple making love, or a sexual act, or someone in the shower, like that's a bridge too far. That's cheating. That's something that's got to be addressed with the other person's partner. Now, me, I have a smidgen of morality, just a smidgen. So I will send sex videos without the lady's face and audio messages that are nefarious to my friends. Now, in my defense, in the B-man's defense, all my friends are in their late 30s, married with and have families. So the likelihood of those videos ending up on Pornhub, very, very minimal. And again, I'm not sending videos with the face. So that's my limit. But again, my morality, my North Star is a bit more dim than most civilians. So again, you got to tread cautiously this weekend. Now, if Mike and his wife come to your house and you're attracted to the wife, and maybe you're thinking a little, ooh, maybe this is going to be a little party, a little swinger type action, or wear something a bit scandalous, a little bit more revealing than you normally do, have an upside down pineapple somewhere displayed in the kitchen, just to let her know. Now, if you are not attracted to Mike's wife, if she's not that babe that Mike claims she is, if she's a gremlin, if she's a herpie, and you want nothing to do with her in that manner, you just want to get through this weekend and kick them the fuck, be done with the two of them. Be careful, very careful with your consumption of wine. Do not allow yourself to have more than 2 glasses. And that's not glasses all the way to the top. Half glasses at most. Because, you know, loose lips sink ships. And if you have that third glass of wine, you might get a little lippy and tell Mike's wife that you are aware of her hairstyle, of her pubes. Right, you've seen those photos and those pictures that David's seen them and described them to you. So you don't want to start drinking, get the loose lips and drop the bag, and then you ruin Mike's and his wife's relationship. But again, we're all going about this in good faith that Mike's wife is above board and not a floozy, and that she herself did nothing wrong while her husband was thousands of miles overseas. So, again, nudes. Hey, man, everyone's got a phone. If you got a lover, you got nudes of her or him on your phone, and you're going to share them with your close friends. So, to me, this is no harm, no foul. Keep your lips shut. And to Mike and to David, a tip of my penis to you for serving our country, and to your wives. We love you, right? We love military wives here at Verbal Graffiti. So let's continue reading A Salesman's Wife. Oh, and I hope you do have a fun weekend with Mike and his wife. We are on the top of page 95. We will read two pages together, as we always do, aloud. That's it, Stella screamed. He drove brutally into her. She lost herself in the burning, painful excitement of his rock-hard prick, tearing along the steaming, quaking walls of her pussy. That's it. Oh, huck, me good. Alan now impelled her with demonic force, plunging in and out, lust-bloated cockhead, sliding fiercely along the hot, wet, cuntle sheath-like piston. He reached his hands around and squeezed the soft, subtle mounds of her breast, gripping them hard and sending more excruciating pain through Stella's passion, crazed body. At the moment, his seed began to surge in the slamming loins, filling his balls as they swung and bounced furiously. I'm coming, he cried. As he said this, Stella began enveloped and throbbing, burning exultancy. Her blood raced feverishly through her body. Her skin tingled as if singed with fire. The pounding, raging thrills in her pussy grew to earthquake proportions, and waves of hotly pulsing pleasure surged through her. She screamed, fuck! Oh, fuck, fuck! Her lust-inflamed cuntal walls palpitating wildly in gust forth her steaming female passion. As Alan bucked his body in the grips of wild demonic spasms, in the next second he exploded with white bubbling cum that burst from the parted lips of his cockhead and streamed into her pussy like a thickly rushing river. Ah! He screamed as the white-hot male cum spurted madly into her trembling, love-drenched pussy. He arched his body triumphantly as Stella drew in the essence of his desire and rapture, her body writhing luridly, shaking with pleasure. Her cuntal juices were flowing freely, gushing around the jerking penis, mingling with juicily lewdly. They both watched the galvanic climax with bulging, staring eyes in the mirror before them, a whirlpool of unbridled orgasm. Stella mewled as the little sparkles of delight spread to every part of her body. Gradually, Alan spent himself completely as the last bubbling drops flowed into her flooded pussy. Then he slowly withdrew and sank into the soft furriness of the shag rug, completely exhausted. The debauched blonde sank down beside him and let the cool air waft over her body. That was real nice, she cooed, her fingers playing lazily with his softened penis. Go suck a fat one.